In Miami, testimony resumes tomorrow in the trial of accused al-Qaeda operative Jose Padilla and his two co-defendants. The three are charged with providing support to terrorist groups operating overseas. Although Padilla is the headliner, he has just a marginal role in the case the government is laying out in federal court. From Miami, NPR's Greg Allen reports.
For the past 2 months, Jose Padilla has been in court daily, wearing a gray suit and wire-rimmed glasses, talking occasionally with his lawyers. But for most of the time, the focus hasn't been on him, but on the alleged activities of his two co-defendants, Adam Hassoun and Kifa Jayusi. When Padilla was arrested more than 5 years ago, then-Attorney General John Ashcroft said he'd been plotting to set off a radioactive dirty bomb in the U.S. Those allegations went away last year when the government dropped Padilla's designation as an enemy combatant and added his name to a federal indictment in Miami. The indictment charges Hassoun, Jayusi, and Padilla with supporting jihadist groups fighting in places like Afghanistan, Chechnya, and Kosovo. But as the trial has unfolded, it's become clear that Padilla's involvement in most of what's being discussed was peripheral. This week, over defense objections, federal Judge Marcia Cook allowed prosecutors to play for jurors one of the potentially most inflammatory pieces of evidence, a 10-year-old interview with Osama bin Laden conducted by CNN's Peter Arnett.
Mr. bin Laden, if you had an opportunity to give a message to President Clinton, what would that message be?
Mentioning the name of Clinton provokes disgust and revulsion. The president has a heart that knows no words.
On its face, the old interview seemed to have little to do with the charges that Hassoun, Jayusi, and Padilla were sending money and supplies to terrorists overseas. In fact, Judge Cook told jurors it has nothing to do with Padilla. Before showing it, she cautioned the jury that there's no evidence Padilla, quote, viewed, heard, commented on, or endorsed the videotape. She allowed it to be shown, however, because Hassoun and Jayusi are heard discussing the interview in intercepted phone calls introduced as evidence, such as this one. In the phone call, Hassoun and Jayusi talk admiringly about bin Laden's interview, including his comments about Bill Clinton. Robert Chesney, a national security law expert at Wake Forest University, says in allowing the tape to be played, Judge Cook had to weigh its possible prejudicial effect on the jury against its value in understanding Hassoun and Jayusi's state of mind.
As soon as you have bin Laden's face appear, of course, there is some risk of emotional inflammation, but does it substantially outweigh the probative value for shedding light on their intentions? I don't think it's that surprising that the judge said the tape could come in ultimately.
For Hassoun and Jayusi, the prosecution case is built almost entirely on wiretaps, hundreds of thousands of phone calls and faxes intercepted between 1993 and 2001. Of the more than 100 phone intercepts being played for the jury, only 7 directly involve Jose Padilla. Prosecutors say Padilla was recruited by Hassoun to take part in jihad overseas, and one phone call seems to support that. While Padilla is living in Egypt, Hassoun encourages him to get to an area where jihad is being fought. Padilla replies, God willing, it's going to happen soon. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.